May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 1084. Ah, wretched, vile, ungrateful heart, that can from Jesus thus depart, thus fond of trifles vainly rove, forgetful of a Saviour's love. 1084.
Let us read together in the second epistle general of Peter, chapter 3. the third chapter in the second epistle general of Peter. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Saviour. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless, and account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and for ever. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of that portion of his sacred word to the profit of our souls, and teach us now to pray. O Lord, we come once more before thee in all our need, our spiritual poverty, our ignorance and foolishness. For Lord, we would be conscious that thine eye is upon us this evening. Thou seest every heart. Thou knowest all about us each, for nothing is hidden from thy all-seeing eye. And Lord, we would not lightly come before thee at the throne of grace. For Lord, we would come with precious faith in living exercise in our hearts, that as we come before thee, we may be enabled to look to the glorious person of the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom and by whom poor sinners have access at the throne of grace. But Lord, we would plead that thou look upon us this night and view us in mercy in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. For Lord, that is our only hope. And thou knowest how we've gathered this evening. Thou knowest the burden and exercise of each heart. And Lord, we pray that we each may lose sight of the things of this dying world, those things that weigh us down, those things that trouble and perplex. For Lord, thou knowest how we've each gathered before thee, the burden of our hearts. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt come and break the bread of life to living souls, and may there be those souls fed under the word, and Lord, that there might be that fruit brought forth to thine honour and thy glory. And yet, Lord, it's not of us, it's all in thee, for thou hast said, from me is thy fruit found. But Lord, we would now come, seeking that thou wilt have compassion upon us. And Lord, that thou wilt meet with us each in all our varying cases and conditions. But Lord, we would come with those godly Greeks of old, with that desire. We would see Jesus. Lord, it's to view thee by faith in the sinner's room and place and stead. It is to see the dear Saviour in all that he passed through as he stood and bore the curse of his people's sins, as he suffered in Gethsemane's garden, and went to Calvary, there to bleed and die for poor hell-deserving sinners. Lord, to rise again for their justification. Lord, we pray that we may feed upon these precious truths of the gospel this night, and we may not be left to our own thoughts, our own carnal imagination. Lord, we pray, oh, that thou wilt separate our thoughts now from all things here below. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt draw near by thy dear Holy Spirit and work mightily and powerfully in this company this evening. For Lord, it is thy gracious presence we want to know and feel. But Lord, we pray, oh, that our hearts may be drawn heavenward, drawn away from time things, drawn after thee, to behold thee by faith. O Lord, enable us to consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your mind. Lord, we pray then that thou wilt look upon those fainting ones this night, those troubled, distressed ones this night, those weak and feeble ones. Lord, thou knowest where thy people are, but oh, it's to know and taste of that precious balm of Gilead in the application of it to our sin-stained hearts and consciences, to know the cleansing power of thy blood. Lord, we are sinners. We sin continually. And Lord, thou knowest that constant cause of trouble in our hearts is our many sins and transgressions. But oh, we do thank thee that thou hast declared the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin. Lord, we pray that none here may be left to acknowledge the truth of it and believe it in the intellect. Lord, is to know it experimentally in our poor hearts, in the application of it, and to Lord to know, oh, that our sins were put away forever at Calvary, and that we stand reconciled to God. Thou knowest those souls gathered who long to know that to be their portion, fearing, trembling, where the scene will end. But Lord, thou who hast begun that good work in that poor sinner's heart, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Lord, we believe it, but thou knowest how cast down and troubled thy dear people often are on account of what we feel within, the paths we walk in, the plague of our own hearts, the enemy to our souls, an enticing world. O Lord, what conflict thy dear people know. But oh, we pray, oh, that thou wilt come and show to us, Lord, although we know that conflict in our own heart, Lord, the battle has been won. Victory has been proclaimed in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He rose again from the dead, having conquered hell, death, sin and the grave for all his people. Lord, these precious truths we know, but Lord, it's to lay hold of them by faith, to plead them at the throne of grace. And Lord, that we might know in our own hearts the reviving power as the truth is made known experimentally in the paths and experiences thy people walk in. O Lord, do meet with us this night in mercy, we beseech thee. For thou knowest, Lord, the paths of each one. Thou knowest those things are before us each, those concerns that we have, the exercises of our souls. Lord, it's all in thy hands, and not a single shaft can hit until the God of love sees fit. And Lord, we pray, oh, that thou wilt come this night, and oh, do speak into a poor sinner's hearts, that thine eye is upon them. Thou knowest their case, and thou hast said, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Lord, we pray, oh, that thou wilt come and fulfill that wonderful truth in our own heart's experience. But Lord, we pray for that grace of faith to wait upon thee for the fulfillment of it. Lord, we pray for this little cause of truth, and seek that thou wilt remember each one that gathers here. And Lord, thou knowest those that are not here this night. We pray for them, that thou wilt be with them where they are, caring for loved ones. Lord, we bear them before thee, and seek that thou wilt remember them where they are. But Lord, we pray that thou wilt work mightily and powerfully in this little church and congregation. Lord, that thy power might be known as the gospel is declared. Souls may be brought into soul exercise and concern as to where they stand before a holy, holy heart-searching God, and brought to thy feet, conscious of what they are and what their sins deserve, but oh, to be found there, pleading for mercy, for Jesus' sake. Lord, thou knowest those that have been waiting long, waiting for the answers to that petition. How often that a cry has ascended out of a poor sinner's heart. Lord, we pray, as thou hast put that desire in that heart, thou wilt fulfill it in thy time and in thy way. And we pray that thou wilt grant such grace to continue with that importuning prayer, that thou wilt appear and grant to them their soul's desires. Lord, we pray that thou wilt yet work here, that there might be those added to the church, such as shall be saved. Lord, thou knowest those exercised souls. We pray that thou wilt appear, and might there yet be a building up here, a lengthening of the cords and a strengthening of the stakes, a breaking forth on the right hand and on the left. For Lord, thou knowest where thy people are. For the foundation of God standeth sure, having that seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Oh, may that exercise be found in each heart before thee this night, to know that each one of us amongst those characters who are known by thee, and who know thee through the work which thou dost accomplish and art accomplishing in poor sinners' hearts. Lord, we pray for thy servants that labour here. Remember them in much mercy. Be with them, Lord, and oh, do bless thy word through them as they labour. And might there be those signs following the preaching of the word, if it could please thee. Lord, we pray for the deacons here, and seek that thou wilt remember them in much mercy. Grant to them thy upholding grace, as they carry the responsibility of this corner of thy vineyard. And we pray, Lord, that they may know communion with thee. But Lord, thou knowest the desires of their heart. Oh, may they continually prove the sufficiency of thy grace. Lord, we pray that reach member of the little church, and seek, Lord, that thou wilt root and ground each one in the love of Christ. And Lord, we pray that, oh, that there may be that growth in grace and the knowledge of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ in this place. Lord, we pray for those of thy people who are sick, some, Lord, unable to gather in thy house, some, Lord, through bodily infirmities being cared for. We bear them before thee and seek that thou remember them where they are in these their latter days. Oh, we pray that thou wilt grant to them their souls' desires. And now we would pray for Zion, thy one church. We would pray for our little group of churches. And Lord, what can we say? We have sinned against thee, and thou art dealing with us on account of our many sins and transgressions. For thou art hiding thy face. There is a great withholding of the holy work of the Holy Spirit, and the power made known in poor sinners' hearts. And Lord, thou knowest those who are rightly and truly exercised concerning these things. O Lord, leave us not to acknowledge the truth of the low state in Zion and amongst our churches. Lord, to merely acknowledge that truth. Oh, lay it upon our hearts, we pray. Grant us grace to wrestle with thee at the throne of grace, that there might yet be a turning again unto thee. Bring each one to self-examination, that whereby we may establish the cause and brought to a realization of our own sins, and to be brought to truly mourn over them and confess them before thee. For Lord, thou knowest we have sinned and done that which is evil in thy sight, and thou art grieved. O Lord, we deserve thy wrath. Lord, we deserve that thou shouldest leave us on account of our many sins. But O Lord, we would plead the precious blood of the Lord Jesus, his finished work, his glorious righteousness, his person for our acceptance. For Lord, that is our only hope. For poor sinners, we read, are made accepted in the Beloved. Oh, might that be our portion, and that we might know it experimentally in our own hearts, and be brought to truly bless thee and praise thee for what thou hast done. Lord, we pray for this sinful land. Thou seest all that is taking place in this land and in the world today. And Lord, thou seest the conflict, oh, the evidence of sin. And Lord, as we view thy judgments upon this sinful land, O gracious God, O leave us not to pass them by carelessly and indifferently. Lord, we pray that they might be a speaking voice to us, as we believe thou art speaking to thy people. For Lord, we know not what is before us, but Lord, We pray for more grace. Lord, we pray for that thy strength to be given to stand in this evil day. For Lord, we have no power of our own. It's thine that thou dost give to thy dear people. Lord, we pray that thou will, if it could please thee, raise up gracious men into office in this nation who know what England ought to do. But Lord, thou knowest what is before us each. Lord, we pray for grace to wait upon thee. But Lord, we pray that these things may stir up an exercise in our own hearts to be ready, be also ready, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Lord, may we be graciously exercised that we may be enabled to read our title clear to mansions in the skies. Do prepare us, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Now, Lord, we would thank thee for all thy goodness and mercy to us. How great has been thy mercy to us over the years. And, Lord, we're undeserving of it. But still, thou dost thy mercies flow in one continual stream. And we would pray for a heart of gratitude. For, Lord, we have to constantly declare, thou dost not deal with us according to our sins or reward us according to our iniquities. Lord, still that mercy comes to undeserving, sinful creatures. And now, Lord, as we turn to thy word, do come and open it up to us. Lord, do grant the hearing ear and the understanding heart. But Lord, that we each may be delivered from all carnal, intruding, worldly thoughts and cares, as we desire to consider our soul's eternal state and that destiny which is before us each. Lord, we pray that attentive ear may be given, and that thou wilt come thyself this night and speak into poor sinners' hearts, wherein thy name is honoured and glorified. And now, Lord, we would fall into thy hands. Thou knowest our great need. Do pardon all our many, many sins and all that we have asked amiss, as we would plead the precious, peerless name of Jesus, and for his sake alone. Amen.
Hymn 1038. Sinners in their deep affliction sigh and groan beneath their load, long to read their own election, and with pleasure say, my God, trembling, fearing, hoping still in Jesus' blood. 1038.
the word that rests upon my spirit to bring before you this evening, as the Lord will enable me. You'll find in the chapter that we read, in the second epistle general of Peter, chapter 3 and verse 14. The 14th verse of the third chapter in Peter's second epistle. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. These are amongst the last recorded words of the Apostle Peter. For we find in that opening chapter, he refers to that time when he said this, "Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me." This apostle was coming to the end of his journey. And you notice there is this in this epistle, and in that same epistle which the apostle Paul, the last epistle he wrote, the second epistle of Paul to Timothy, that epistle, the last that was recorded, he said this. He said, "I am now ready to be offered." The apostle Paul was prepared for that great change which awaited him, as did indeed Peter. Now notice in these two epistles especially, and there are other cases in God's word, where we find as a child of God comes down to the end of the journey, we find many warnings, many gracious exhortations. They look back over those things that they have passed through in their own lives. They look upon their sins, their failures, their departures, but they had proved the faithfulness of their God. And we find those two other cases. Jacob, when he was coming to the end of his life, you remember he called his sons around his bed and gave them many gracious exhortations. Again, Moses, as he was approaching the end, he spoke to those tribes and gave them too many gracious exhortations. And my dear friend, so it has been throughout God's word. But we can't pass this aspect of the word before us without speaking of the dear Lord Jesus. Those things that he uttered before he went to Gethsemane and to Calvary. And oh, precious those chapters are, the 14th, 15th, 16th, and 17th of John. There he lovingly exhorts his dear disciples as they'd gathered around him before going into Gethsemane. The Lord Jesus Christ knew what was before him. The disciples couldn't understand it, although the Lord had spoken to them of it and the needs before it. And they were troubled and they were sorrowing in their hearts. And then we find in those sweet chapters what sweet words of exhortation, comfort, exceeding great and precious promises he gave to his disciples. Now, my dear friend, it's these the words especially of those who are coming to the end of the journey. And isn't it so with the Lord's people? How dear ones gather around that bed and they want to hear those last words that they speak. They want to know that that soul is eternally safe. And they want to know and have the assurance that that one, when called from time to eternity, will be with the dear Lord Jesus in glory. And my dear friend, it is so. Some of you can attest to it, I believe, from your own experiences. Now, we find in this chapter, the apostle particularly dwells upon the last day. That which, when the angel we read of in the book of the Revelation, chapter 11, where that angel will, with one foot on the sea, the other foot upon the land, and that declaration will be made, time is no more. And then we read that the heavens will be rolled up as a scroll, the earth will be burnt with fire, and all will be called to the judgment throne, there to stand before their Maker and to give an account of those things that we have done, spoken, thought in our lives here below. My dear friend, how do you view that day? And how do I view that day? My dear friend, if you and I are amongst the Lord's people, our great concern will be to know that our souls are eternally safe. And to know that when we are called to die, we shall have an abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of the Lord Jesus. Now, dear friend, is that your concern? How stands the case with thee, my soul? For heaven, are thy credentials clear? Is Jesus Christ thy only plea? Is he thy great forerunner there? Dear friend, if you're exercised, that will be the chief concern in your heart. Oh, you say, I believe it is, but I find I'm overwhelmed with the world and the things of it. And I seem so drawn away. I have such a carnal heart. I cannot keep myself. The Lord knows it. And my dear friend, when we wander, when we stray, how does the Lord deal with his people? Well, he brings them into a path whereby that one is brought to a full stop, as it were, and to stop and consider where they are, and to see then in a clearer light the vanity of everything here below. Oh, dear friend, the trivialities which so often our poor hearts and minds are taken up with, compared with a never-ending eternity. The word in our text says this: wherefore, beloved, seeing ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. In the earlier part of the chapter, we have that description of what that last day will be, and that that day will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. And then we find this question: what manner of persons ought ye to be? What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? What a searching question that is. What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Oh, my dear friend, does it not touch our hearts? Do we have to acknowledge we have come very far short of what we would be? We read this: wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent. Now, dear friend, are we looking for such things, or do we turn away from it? You know, our old nature turns away from these things, and yet they're so vitally important to our souls. You see, we have an old sinful heart, a sinful nature, and my dear friend, it's this, and some of you will know what I'm speaking about. Our old poor flesh wants to put these things away from us, and yet we know the foolishness of it. We know that these things are true, and that which God's word declares will come about. What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Well, my dear friend, what is the ground of our hope that it will be well with our souls? Now, that's a searching question, isn't it? Well, let us first address ourselves. Do we have a hope? And what hope is it? And how have we come by that hope? Is it something that we presumed upon? Is it something that we've assumed that we're all right, as it were, and yet truly we're all wrong for eternity? Now, my dear friend, that hope of a child of God is a Holy Spirit wrought hope in their hearts. And what is the source of that hope? It's in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so a quickened soul is brought to a realization of eternity, and to realize that they're sinners in God's sight, and unless that sin is dealt with, their souls will be lost forever. Do we believe it? It's a solemn truth, my dear friend, and yet, you know, if you and I are amongst the Lord's people, I believe these things will be brought home to our hearts in those early days when the Holy Spirit begins that work of grace in the heart. They're brought to see what sinners they are and how destitute we are of all that is good, how unable we are to do anything which is acceptable to God, and to realize that in that state that we're brought to a realization of, if we continue in it, and we die as we were born, dead in trespasses and in sins, oh, what an awful prospect it'll be. Never to see the Lord's face, never to know God's love, but to never see him ever in heaven at all, and to be found in hell suffering the torments of the wicked. My dear friend, I know these things are not very often spoken of, But you know, if you're a child of God, these things will be brought, we should be stopped, brought to stop and consider these things as to where we stand. But you know, if ever we are to know that great salvation wrought out by the Lord Jesus Christ whilst here below, and to know that it was for us, then we must first know our need, our great need, our soul's need. And that need transcends everything else here below. It will in the heart of that child of God when they're quickened into divine life. Oh, it's that, where will I spend eternity? Well, dear friend, that's a question addressed to us each. Well, do we know? Do we have an expectation that it'll be well? Or are we content to come to and fro into the Lord's house and hear the gospel preached and acknowledge the truth of it and to go away and continue our lives as we have done without any effect upon our lives? My dear friend, if you and I possess a real religion, it'll affect our lives. It must, my dear friend, because there'll be a great change wrought. And that great change is wrought in the heart by the work of the Holy Spirit. And to see that our souls are destitute of all that is good. But oh, to see that great need, that the Lord would have mercy upon such a sinful wretch. We've been singing of those characters, haven't we? And I wonder how many here sung those songs from the heart, feelingly, as those words were expressed. You know, my dear friend, if you're a child of God, you'll know what you are, a vile sinner. Ah, and it's not something which will fall easily and simply from your lips. It'll be something which will cause you great concern, because of the solemn consequence of sin, as the Lord has spoken of it and it has recorded in God's word. Well, dear friend, that child who got in is not left there. No, if you and I have been quickened into divine life by the work of the dear Holy Spirit, we shall feel our need of mercy. That is, to see that our souls can never enter into heaven, and we can never possess a good hope through grace, and we can never have a right expectation unless that God has mercy upon such a sinful wretch as you feel to be. And you know that cry comes forth from that heart. And they cannot see how it can be so. But what they do know is this, that without that mercy, their souls are lost forever. And the effect is this, I believe, there'll be many a cry, Lord, have mercy upon my never dying soul. Lord, have compassion upon my case. Lord, I've nothing. I'm a sinful wretch. I've sinned against thy love. I've sinned against sins immense as is the sea. That's how you'll feel. And oh, my dear friend, you won't be able to go on with that hymn when you first call for mercy and cry for mercy until the dear Holy Spirit shows you where that mercy comes. And that mercy comes alone through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is that channel of mercy which was opened at Calvary for poor, needy sinners as the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. I say, dear friend, did he come into the world to save your soul and mine? Ah, you say, I'm a sinner still. You will be, my dear friend, and I will be, right down to our dying day. But you don't now acknowledge that solemn truth carelessly, do you? It's a great grief to you. It's a burden to your soul. Oh, you say, oh, that I could be relieved from this sin, that indwelling sin, the sin of unbelief. Oh, the sins of my poor heart every day. But beloved friend, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to stand in the room and place of his dear people. And he came, my dear friend, not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And it is that great work of salvation devised in eternity past by the eternal three, where God set his love upon a certain number, chose them in his beloved Son, and call them by his grace, that thereby they might know that the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to save their souls from hell. Oh, what a work it was, my dear friend. The Holy Son of God came into this world, took that human body prepared for him by his Father. He lived that perfect life, and he went to Gethsemane. And the sins of the whole election of grace were laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all of his chosen people. Oh, think of it for a moment. If your and my sins are so great, how great must have been that load that the Lord Jesus Christ knew as the sins of all his people were laid upon the Lord Jesus. And there, in Gethsemane and at Calvary, God, his Father, poured out his wrath upon his beloved Son. My dear friend, this is a deep but precious mystery. But oh, my dear friend, God's justice demanded nothing less than a perfect atonement for sin. And he ordained the dear Lord Jesus to come into this world and to suffer and shed his blood, to make a perfect atonement for those sins of his people, and to lay down his life that his people might live eternally. Now, dear friend, you all know these precious truths. They're constantly, I believe, set before you. But what do they mean to you? Is it that which your soul feeds upon? Or do you pass it by as an acknowledgement of something which you know? My dear friend, the greatest work, that work of salvation, we may say this, it transcends the work of creation. Great, wonderful and blessed and great, though creation was. But my dear friend, the world and all that God created will die. But oh, this great salvation is eternal. And it is that salvation which was wrought out by the dear Lord Jesus for every one of his dear people. Now, dear friend, you will be brought to seek to know these truths, saving that you might know them, savingly known in your poor heart. To know that the Lord Jesus Christ stood in your and my room and place and stead, suffered, bled and died, and rose again for our justification. And my dear friend, there and there alone is the ground of a poor sinner's hope, the substitutionary work of the Lord Jesus, as he wrought out that robe of righteousness, whilst here below, that his dear people might be clothed with that righteousness and viewed perfect and complete in him. Now, here is the foundation of a sinner's hope, the foundation and ground of a poor sinner's faith. It's the only foundation, the only ground, my dear friend, upon which we can safely rest. Nothing else, nothing of our imagination, and it's not what others think. It's that which is wrought in the heart by the work of the Holy Spirit as he shows that poor sinner their great need, and to be brought to see that need can only be supplied and satisfied in the person of the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And it's this, Jesus. It is to know him and to be found in him at last. Now, if your hope and my hope is not resting upon the person of the Lord Jesus and what he has done, I have to tell you, my dear friend, it is a groundless hope. You say, well, how do I know that that hope which I often is often tried, as if whether it is really founded upon the Lord Jesus, it'll be the work of the Holy Spirit that'll come and seal it in your heart and mine. And how does he seal it? It is as the Holy Spirit takes of the things of Jesus and reveals them to a poor, needy sinner, and brings them to see that it was for them the Saviour bled and died. And it was for them he suffered. And for them he rose again, victorious over sin and hell, death and the grave. The Holy Spirit takes the things of Jesus and reveals them to a poor, needy sinner. And my dear friend, then you can say. Oh, you won't always be able to say it, because we have to live in this world, and there's such a conflict that goes on in our hearts, isn't there, of unbelief, the plague of sin. But you know, when the Lord visits that soul and answers those cries for mercy and reveals himself to them, and shows to them that it was for them he died, then, my dear friend, you'll know something of that peace which passeth all understanding. That peace-speaking blood of the Lord Jesus Christ in the application of it to your poor, troubled, sin-stained heart. Peace. And my dear friend, if we are found in our text where we read this, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace. And it is that peace which God gives. And let us pause for a moment. It's that peace which flowed from Calvary. That is, as God's wrath was pacified, the wrath against his people's sins was pacified at Calvary, and there peace was made between a poor sinner and a holy God through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is that peace that poor needy soul tastes as they're brought and raised up to a hope in God's mercy in the Lord Jesus. Peace in their hearts. For a few moments, perhaps. It may only be for a few moments. It may be for a few minutes, few hours. It may be for 2 or 3 days. But my dear friend, it's an experience that if you and I are a child of God, we shall never forget. Why? Because it is a foretaste of that eternal peace which the Lord Jesus Christ wrought out for his dear people whilst here below. The word goes on. Be ye diligent that ye may be found of him in peace. Oh, it's to know that peace and to rest in the truth of it. You know, my dear friend, when that is known, it'll be tried. And oh, the devil will assault that soul. He'll make his evil suggestions. He'll tell you that you're deceived. You'll find unbelief rising up within your heart. And you cannot lay hold of that truth as you did. The devil will tell you you imagined it. It was something which of your own fancy. And because you do not know and feel as you did at that time, he tells you that peace was not for you. But you know there's that which remains in that poor sinner's heart. You can't give up. It cannot be. It's a work wrought in the heart by the Holy Spirit. And you know, when we walk into trying paths and afflictions and troubles, where does it bring us? And it's God's purpose that it should bring us. These things should bring us there. It brings us to Christ. And it, my dear friend, it brings us to cling to those things that the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. Those things that he has revealed to us. Those promises that he has given to us. And we are brought to plead them at the throne of grace. Therein, you know, the Lord sometimes draws near to that soul in that distress they feel to be in and gives them a sweet renewing of that blessed experience they once knew, maybe years ago, to be found, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace. Well, dear friend, seek after you troubled souls, you burdened souls, those of you who cannot rest upon anything short of the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, perhaps your desire is, oh, that I might know him. Oh, that I might enter into those precious truths that you've declared. Oh, that I might taste of these spiritual blessings which are found in the dear Lord Jesus. My dear friend, in the Lord's time, if that desire, and that's an earnest desire in your heart, you cannot be satisfied short of it. That day, that time will surely come when you will clearly see not only that he shed his blood, but you will say for me, the peace-speaking blood of the dear Lord Jesus. Be diligent that ye may found of him in peace, without spot. Oh, you say, oh, my sins. Oh, I seem to contract fresh filth each day as I fall into sin continually, fall into temptation. And oh, you say, oh, it's my sins, my dear friend. We read in this the opening epistle, that's the first epistle, we read this, if I can, for as much as ye know, ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, listen, without blemish and without spot. And my dear friend, that child of God will only be viewed spotless, not in our poor natural state and carnal state here. They're viewed spotless, perfect and complete in the Lord Jesus. Jesus Christ. The precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. That was that perfect atonement work. That was the sacrifice that the Lord Jesus Christ now offers up at the Father's right hand as the high priest of his dear people. He pleads the merits of that sacrifice and intercedes for his dear people, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Oh, my dear friend, what wonderful blessings these are. At peace, without spot and blameless. Oh, you say, my sins are so great. Oh, I'm worthy to be blamed for all my solemn backslidings. Yes, sins of unregeneracy, but sins since the Lord has looked upon us in mercy, quickened us into divine life. We've heard his voice and have been enabled to walk in his ways, perhaps, and yet to be blameless. Oh, beloved friend, the dear Lord Jesus bore the blame for his dear people as he suffered and bled and died in Gethsemane and at Calvary, that you and I, and my dear friend, I would reiterate it, that you and I, if we're amongst the Lord's people, might be found perfect and complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. These are the wonders of this great redemption work accomplished by the Lord Jesus Christ for his dear people. My dear friend, it's not what you and I can do and have done. It's what Christ has done. And faith, as it is given, lays hold of the truth of it and rests upon what Jesus has done for such a sinful wretch. Here, my dear friend, is the only safe anchor to your soul and mine. It's in Christ. And my dear friend, that anchor can never fail. It'll be tried, there'll be the storms, but you know that anchor will stand fast. It'll remain fast. It cannot be loosened. It's a certainty. His dear people, quickened into divine life, chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, must and shall reach heaven at last. Well, my dear friend, what do we know about these things? What's the ground of your faith and mine? Do we have a good hope through grace? Are you perhaps you tremblingly say, I believe the Lord has wrought that in my heart, that I can never give up. The Lord has spoken to me. He's given to me a sweet and blessed promise, and he's proved the faithfulness to that promise from the very moment he gave it to me. As thy days, thy strength shall be. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. My dear friend, when a poor sinner comes to plead those promises before the Lord that he'd come again and again and fulfill them, he looks beyond the promise to the one who gave it and the one who is able to perform that promise. And that one, my dear friend, that has begun that good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Well, may it be your exercise and mine. Oh, that these things, we may heed these exhortations be diligent. The law, the apostle says this in another place, be diligent to make your calling and election sure. What did he mean? It's sure, my dear friend, in heaven. But it is that we might know it, and that it might be made sure to us, and that we might be enabled to truly believe that we are amongst the Lord's chosen people, and that we are being called by grace and the recipients of God's love and mercy through the person of his beloved Son, the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Wherefore, beloved, seeing ye look for such things. You know, my dear friend, in the context of this verse, we speak of the end of the world, those things that are surely coming upon us, and we view the things that are taking place, those things that are evident around us, which the Lord spoke of whilst here below, and those things that will be evident when the end of the world was coming. Well, my dear friend, do we look to that time when we shall leave everything here below and to enter into the glory? That's the exhortation. Wherefore, beloved, seeing ye look for such things. And you know, I believe there is a time in the experience of the Lord's living family. They don't live there, but I believe there is a time when their souls are so blessed that they are truly being able to say, seeing that we look for such things. Well, I leave the word with you, my dear friend. May it bring us to self-examination. May the Lord, by work of His Holy Spirit, show to us where we stand. And oh, may we not let him rest until we have that full assurance in our hearts that we are born of God and that our treasure is above. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace and without spot and blameless. Amen.
God willing, Dr. Sadler is expected to preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. Chapman a week on Friday. Let us close with hymn 227. From whence this fear and unbelief, hast thou, O Father, put to grief thy spotless Son for me? And will the righteous judge of men condemn me for that debt of sin which, Lord, was charged on thee? 227.
bless thine own word. And do pardon all that has been amiss in our worship this night. But that which has been of thee, do cause to abide in our heart. And come by thy dear Holy Spirit, and seal it there. Watch over us now as we part, grant journeying mercies, and be with us through the remainder of our journeys here below, and prepare us for that great change which awaits us each. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of God the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with you all. Amen.